last night, a tremendous surprise to me. Fernando Gonzalez played lights out, no inconsistency, straight sets against Rafael Nadal. He broke Nadal five times, 41 winners, which were almost triple Nadal's 14, 10 aces. That's 76 aces in five matches. That's even more than Andy Roddick. What's going on with this guy, and why haven't we heard more about him?
Well, he's been almost like a freak show in tennis because he has the biggest forehand in the game right now, clocked over 109 miles an hour. He never really had any structure both on the court during matches or on the practice court to maximize his ability. He's a gold medalist at the Athens Olympics in doubles. Very talented, lots of firepower, lots of speed. But the key recently is that even at his in his late 20s, mid to late 20s, he's decided to get even better. How can he maximize his talent, just like Andre Agassi did with his career? And so he hired one of the greatest coaches in the game right now, which is Larry Stefanke, who's coached a number of number ones in the world, from John McEnroe to Marcelo Rios, Yevgeny Kafelnikov. And the first thing the guy said, Larry Stefanke, is say, hey, we got to drop 10 pounds. And we have to start being more consistent, waiting for our opportunity. And even at this age, the player willing to accept another point of view and get after it. And that's exactly what he's done over the last 2 years, and he's playing much better for it.
Well, tell us about the match itself and what it was that Rafael Nadal was not able to do. Here's a guy that dominates his opponents. We talked about his physicality. We made the analogy he's sort of like the straight-ahead fullback. You know, he's a power runner. He's somebody that's going to knock you out, maybe more like a Deuce McAllister. But what happened in this game? If he was a Deuce McAllister,
Joe Frazier, another, you know, guy, straight-ahead guy, coming in, knocking blows. But one thing, when you have a big weapon that Fernando Gonzalez has, you have to use it at the right times. And when you look at this match, it was just fantastic. You break down the X's and O's. You know with Nadal, he's going to give you a hard, heavy topspin ball. He's going to move and compete really well. So you have to pick your spots. And I think when Gonzalez came out first, he believed he could win. If you don't step on the court and you don't believe you're the better player, if you don't believe you can win, you're in a huge hole just to start out. And so he first believed that he could win. So he comes out and was very consistent with his weaker shot, which was his backhand. He sliced it, he drove it, waited for his opportunities to hit the big forehand, and then he got more confidence as it went along, and he basically was throwing, roundhouses. He was throwing knockouts on Nadal, and it never, never quit. From first ball to last ball, he was the better player.
Look, let me ask you, when you've got a weaker stroke, you talk about 109 mile an hour, flat out, destroyer forehand. So you know Nadal, the lefty against a righty, is going to be pounding that backhand. What do you do to protect your backhand? What do you do to not create more opportunities for your opponent when you know that he's going to be attacking your weak spot?
You change up the matchup. It's real simple. You know that he wants to drive the forehand to your backhand, and so you get out of that scenario as fast as possible. You'll take your backhand and then either slice it or hit it down the line to his backhand to try to change up the pattern. And the easy shot, the high percentage shot in tennis, is always to go cross court. It's over the low part of the net. It's a very high percentage shot, and it doesn't get you in trouble. But by going down the line, you're taking a little bit of a risk because you're going over the high part of the net. You're changing the direction of the ball, which is a lower percentage shot. But you have to get out of that scenario because if you go back cross court, eventually Nadal's going to out-hit you, put you out of position, and then you're in trouble. So you have to change it up, and that's exactly what Gonzalez did. Ball would come into his backhand. He would get it right away down the line. Sampras used to do that to hide his backhand. A lot of players do that.
What happened with Nadal's injury? He actually called a medical timeout after the third game of the third set. Tell us about that and how he played when he came back.
Well, he had a hamstring issue, and he went in and had it taped up. And, you know, he's a fighter. He's a warrior. I mean, he didn't complain. He came back out, did the best he could. And to me, he was doing a lot of running. I don't think it really hurt him because he was getting beat up from first ball. He got beat up after the injury. He's the guy who relies so much on his wheels because he has to run so much. He's not your typical serve and volley, but he's an attacking baseliner that wins with his feet and wins with his heart. So I think in the end it didn't make a difference, but it was Gonzalez consistently staying mentally on the ball. He never dropped the ball, never let the number two seed back in the match.